The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It is now time for some total nonstop action with the evolution of online sports entertainment.
I'm former WWE superstar, ECW superstar Al Snow. I love WrestleTalk Radio.
WrestleTalk Radio brings you the most in-depth coverage of TNA and the indie scene.
It's showtime, folks!
With your host, Nick.
It is I, hotter than Tabasco sauce, but load easier to swallow. The quintessential stud muffin, a good God damn handsome man, and the man who's got more game than Parker Brothers.
And Mace.
So I want all you white trash to get on your hands and knees and pay homage to the genetic freak.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now choke on that, slap nut.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Wrestle Talk Radio. Ay, 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 ay. That's about as much as I'll give you for the main event on that one. We will definitely be covering that, including the rest of the show tonight. But first of all, we're going to get to the introductions. Obviously, the man who is talking right now, the man you all love, my name is Mace. Sitting with me tonight is Nick, and that's it. No more intros. Let's get straight into the show.
Whoa! Hold on a second, Mace. She said she'd try an inch, but I stretched it so she would take a whole damn mile. And, as always, she left with a great big smile.
That's enough.
What I do always at pay-per-view. I am, of course, the quintessential muff stuffer, the sexual intellectual, the Nick. Now we can start on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. That seems to be my catchphrase for tonight.
I like you very much.
No. It's not even like that, mate. It's more of a what the fuck. We've gone straight from the show, TNA Slammiversary, straight to WrestleTalk Radio. Hey. I'm still coming down from it.
I like that main event, but we're gonna touch on that a bit later. Let's start with our opening bout, shall we?
Well, we might as well start with the pre-show. I was actually able to catch this. I did wake up early enough. It wasn't all that much to it, really. you had a nice little segment of Beer Money mocking Team 3D about their time in Japan, how they're doing 15 hours over to Japan to defend their titles and then 15 hours back. Whether they were actually going to try and play that into it, we wouldn't find out until later in the night. Other than that, it was sort of a lack of respect type thing. So instead of getting the Beer Money face turn that everybody has been thinking we're going to get over the course of the last few weeks,
well,
we have actually...
They've had a Beer Money face turn. But to be honest, I think it worked, and I actually prefer the mutual respect matches rather than heel and face, but it's not something you can do very often, and to do it well is incredibly hard. And I'm sure, Mace, you can testify.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I would have liked to have seen Beer Money continue with the face turn that they were doing, but bringing them back to their arrogant selves sort of keeps the flow of the team moving. Speaking of getting things moving, I'll keep moving right along. The pre-show match of the night was Eric Young and Rhino versus the British Invasion. Sorry, I was just checking a quick note there. As sort of anyone could have predicted with this tag match, Eric Young now...
That would be a very strange match, because Rhino is babyface, but Eric Young is very, very much so heel. He's just had a massive heel turn against Double J, and British Invasion, of course, having been heels.
Yeah. As anyone could have predicted, Eric Young suddenly, with his newfound heel turn, decides to walk off on Rhino, leaving him alone to the mercy of British Invasion, of which they had none. There was absolutely no real chance for Rhino to get a comeback. He did try a few times, but every time he tried, he got cut off. Very standard tag team work from British Invasion here. Later on in the match, Jesse Neal made his way down. This is actually my first time seeing Jesse Neal, and I will sit here with the rest of everybody else going, what the hell is up with that haircut? That was absolutely... I thought Santino's one a few years ago was bad. This was absolutely worse.
My production notes. When the first time I saw Jesse Neal, that was the first note I wrote. What the hell? It's not quite a mullet, but for somehow, it's just as bad.
No, Jersey Girl, this is Jesse Neal, the apprentice of Rhino. You're getting him confused with Cody Deaner, which, thank God, we didn't actually have to sit through him on the show. The winner of the tag match was, of course, the British Invasion, after Jesse Neal got tagged in and double-teamed for the loss, which sort of makes me wonder why would they sort of throw the rules out the window like that, you know? Jesse Neal is not the legal man, he is not even a part of the matchup, so why the hell should he be getting in the ring anyway?
Look, TNA likes to have their own rules. I recall a few years back the title couldn't change via disqualification, yet we've seen that happen a few times. Although, I do recall there were a fair few matches back in the old, old days of ECW. So this is going back well over 10 years, where I saw a couple of tag team matches where, for some reason, another person got thrown out. So you'd always have a run-in and become the new tag team partner.
Yeah, but again, that was ECW. They seemed to throw all the rules out the window back then. This is TNA. This is meant to be a more professional-style company. You know, but then again, they're the type of guys who have taken Bonaducci and put him in the ring. So, there goes my theory straight out the window there.
Well, if you think about it, TNA has... I don't mean to be ragging on their on a product, which I enjoy, but they seem to copy everybody else's style rather than be innovative on their own.
Yeah, true. But then again, if you actually take a real good look at wrestling. There is not a lot of innovation left. There is not a lot of originality left. That's why everybody seems to be copying everybody else's style.
To quote Eric Bischoff, maybe all the rabbits have been pulled out of the hat.
Quite possibly, quite possibly.
Or to quote myself, maybe we need a lot more fucking competition in the wrestling industry to force them to be creative once again.
I think that's just the general wrestling fans out there, Nick, not just yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, I will take this moment to cut Nick off. Love doing that. To give you a little bit of information for tonight. Tonight we will be doing a WTR trivia contest. The winner of such will be getting a copy of WrestleManiac the movie. What you will need to do is later on in the night, probably about halfway through the show, you will need to call us here at 267-297-1397 or Skype ID Sir Rocking. And the first two people we get in will get a best of 10 trivia questions, the winner of which will get the copy of WrestleManiac, the movie. Then it will be shipped out to them by somebody in the WTR crew. Not myself, as I don't actually have the copy here. But anyway.
So we've eliminated it in Australia. So now.
It's either hiding in the US or Canada. There you go.
It's Tim, so 6 to 8 months shipping.
Yep. Now, that aside, we shall jump straight into the very first match of the night tonight, which was the TNA X Division Championship King of the Mountain match. Need a breather off that one. We had the champion Suicide against Jay Lethal, Consequences Creed, Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin. As they did put up through the commentary a lot tonight, it was basically Suicide versus two tag teams. But will the gold get into it? We didn't know until it actually started happening. To be honest, before I actually get too into the match, I'll just sort of... I know, Nick, you didn't end up catching this match, did you?
I actually caught... I've done my research. You'll be proud. And I've got to say, I'm very, very disappointed in the finish.
Yeah.
I really do. I would have loved to have seen Alex Shelley, maybe not so much Chris Sabin, but Alex Shelley, take the title in Detroit. The reason I say that is because they are the Motor City Machine Guns. TNA does not go to
Nick, dude. Reel it back in, bro. Reel it back in. That was not what I was going to ask you to comment on, actually. It was more along the lines of, I can't remember the guy's name they got in today to present the X Division title. But why the hell would they have somebody standing there with the title belt in his hands during a match like this, where guys are going to be flying all over the joint? You know, why have somebody to present the title during a match? I can understand maybe after the match, but then again, TNA booking means no sense. It was Curtis Ganderson of the Detroit Tigers, I'm being told. That's what I get for not following American sports. Anything you want to say about that one, Nick?
Cheap plug. They were having trouble selling seats. They dropped their ticket price to $7 to put people in the arena. You notice how they had a very, very darkly lit arena, more so than a normal TNA event, because there were a lot of empty seats.
Oh, it's understandable. You know, you got to do what you can to make the broadcast look better. But I'm not defending them at all. You know, if they can't seem to fill an arena at this point, then they really need to think about their marketing strategy a lot more.
Well, to be fair, I think it was a very, very poor choice of places, because I don't know how long ago they booked the arena itself, but I want to say, considering what the car industry means to the city of Detroit and the current issues that the car industry is going through right now in the United States and the insecurity that the jobs people having jobs in the car industry would have at the moment, with the collapse of GM, with the selling off of Saab, with the selling off of Chevrolet to Fiat, with the selling off of everything under the sun. It's not a good time to be in the car industry. And with the also dramatic drop in sales in production.
I don't think that has much to do with it, Nick. Even at $7 a ticket, mate, that's robbery, pretty much, you know. Hell, I could afford those seats easily 10 times over with what I've got in my wallet right now. But we're not here to quibble about the ticket prices or the fact
when they launched the ticket prices, they were $100 and $150. It's only recently that they put it to $7 to get those numbers in.
Well, you got to remember, WCW used to give out Nitro tickets for free when it got really close to the event. Hell, you know, most companies still do that.
Yeah, but you also used to remember WCW used to have events where they sold out the entire arena in 4 hours.
Yeah, but that was a different time and age, really, I suppose.
Oh, true.
Anyway, get ourselves back on track here. We are not financial talk radio. Yeah, Wrestle Talk Radio.
I like the sound of that.
Well, maybe we can pitch that to Tim later. The match was pretty much everything that you would expect out of a Ultimate X match, just without the cables, really. Lots of bouncing around, lots of high drop kicks, pushing people off ladders, using ladders to hit people, jumping over ladders, getting jumped on ladders, having ladders put on your back and having people walk over to ladders to hit people with ladders. Ladders, ladders, ladders. They should have just made this a ladder match, to be honest, but hey, they're the guys that make the gimmick. They're the guys who do it. I do put out there to the listeners, if anybody wants to call in tonight, we are taking calls about the pay-per-view tonight. Number again is 267-297-1397 or Strocking. Feel free to come on the air and have a quick chat with us during the show about the show. Going to repeat that one again. The phone number is 267-297-1397 or Skype ID Sir Rockin. That's R-O-C-K-I-N. There is no G on the end of that one. Anything you really want to... Well, I know you were already talking about the match before, Nick, so if you want to finish off what you were saying about the match, go for it.
I would have liked to have seen Alex Shelley go over. I thought it was a bit predictable because all the odds were stacked up against Suicide. It's all stuff we have seen before. And I just think in the Motor City, I think it would have given a tremendous pop from the crowd if you'd seen Alex Shelley go over. To be honest, I think I'm a bit sick of Suicide already as the champion, because in case you haven't noticed, it's not a new gimmick he's come out with. It really isn't. Okay, we've just lost Mace, but as I was saying, I think the Suicide character at this point would be better off chasing the title rather than retaining it. But that's currently my thoughts on... Okay, that's currently my thoughts on the match. And I'm joined back by Mace. Mace, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
Okay, we've just covered up the X Division. On to the next match.
Yep. Not really going to go straight on to the next match. I've got a small little bit that popped up during the show. The TNA card rundown during the pay-per-view. They plugged the card on Impact. They plugged the card twice during the pre-show. And now they're plugging it again on the show. Shouldn't people know what the card is by now?
Well, it was a very, very poorly set up card. We were talking just a week ago, and we were trying to find what matches were on the card.
That's true, but then again, I think... I do have a theory on that, actually. It's more, I reckon they could be trying to play on people with this whole Foley being an inept leader storyline. Having the website not being updated properly could be a part of that, but then again, they could just be bloody lazy.
Website updates are a very, very complicated thing, and to be honest, Jeff Jarrett is fairly old school, and he doesn't really value, he might be underutilizing their website. Although, I thought for a time there was a, they were really gutting their website with the webisodes. But, anything could happen. Anything.
Anything. Very, very true.
A lot of small things I've been noticing. I really think that in the next couple of months, I think we're going to see the Mick Foley character disappearing from TNA.
Yes, that's a very big possibility at this point in time. But then again, as we saw with tonight's main event, who the hell knows what's going to happen with the TNA pay-per-view, or, well, TNA storyline for that matter. You know, we've all been thinking one thing for many, many weeks, and hell, they just turn around and send us over in the other direction completely and utterly.
I have a few of my signature series of zaniness, theories of zaniness coming up, but we will save that for the main event. Let's continue on, and with the backstage segment,
we had a backstage interview with Shane Douglas. First, they decided to try and update us on Team 3D, telling us that they had a 15-hour flight from Japan, something we already knew if anybody had watched the pre-show. They didn't even know whether Team 3D were in the building yet, but who knows? There have been times where I've seen wrestlers actually rock up to a show and still be tying their laces as they're coming to the ring. So something like that is not highly uncommon in the wrestling business. Douglas, during his interview segment, I'm Porky Pigging right now. Douglas said this was his last chance to return to the TNA roster. Doesn't think that he'll lose, and continually plays on his, you know, I am a legend. You can't go up against a legend like me. Legend, legend, legend. The guy friggin' ripped off more than a broken record. Something else I did know, and this might just be Douglas playing the heel here, is that he rips a little bit on Ric Flair. He does the whole, you know, if you want to be the man, you've got to beat the man. He's a 7-year champion, that he's setting standards and everything. It was
interesting to see that. Mace, you are aware there is an honest rivalry between himself and Ric Flair that actually started on the formation of ECW when he threw down the NWA title.
Oh, yes, I'm well aware of the history. But why he decides to keep continuing in this day and age is completely, you know, befuddling me more than anything else.
People have long memories in the rest... in the wrestling industry, especially wrestlers of that vintage.
And yeah, I could understand it was Douglas in the WWE doing this type of thing, but not Douglas in TNA. If they had Flair in TNA, then I could see a reason for doing it. But I think it's just Douglas taking little pot shots at Ric Flair, which is seriously not needed. Not these days.
Well, you don't know what happened, because previously, before working in TNA, he was in the NWA. I was very surprised. Between 05 and 07, he was working in the NWA. I thought they'd never take him back.
Well, the right amount of money, who knows? Instead of getting sidetracked onto why Douglas would have such a flair thing, let's actually get into his... second chance to get on the TNA roster. First thing I did notice tonight with Mr. Douglas was that he was rocking the old ECW style yellow franchise tights. Could be a to return the form, or maybe trying to get people to actually remember who the hell he is. You know, people of Douglas's vintage, as you said, Nick, might be remembered by a lot of the hardcore fans, but new fans would not have a clue who Douglas is. But then again, with the resurgence of ECW, something like that might be enough to get him over. He goes straight into a mic spot, a very old school heel, cheap heat mic spot, where he rips on Detroit, saying, you know, how dare they treat somebody like himself with the lack of respect, playing on the whole Penguins winning the hockey the other week, I believe it was. That's more Spug's domain, not mine. Very easy to get himself over as a heel. Yes.
Hold on, I have to take this opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, I advise you all to tune in to Across the Field, WTRN, home of the cheap plug, Across the Field on, it says 6 p.m. Eastern here, but I think it's 8 p.m. Eastern now, you'll have to check. 6 p.m. Eastern, so everybody tune in for that. Now we will return to WrestleTalk Radio.
The cheap plugs. Talking about cheap plugs, I haven't seen Maverick in the chat room tonight.
He's been around.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Everybody, tune in to Across the Field, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Back to you, Slug.
Is it? You want to repeat that one, Nick?
Back to you, mate.
Do I look like somebody who's drugged up on Percocet to you?
Yes, you do.
Oh, that's just so friggin' wrong. I don't need drugs to be funny. I'm just funny all the friggin' time. Anyway, getting back on track. Nick, shut up. This was a very good match between Daniels and Douglas, which I thought was a very interesting thing, because we're used to Daniels doing quite a few high spots, you know, best moonsault ever, plenty of high drop kicks, bouncing off the ropes, dives, whatever. He actually went the opposite way with Douglas and really grounded him. A lot of headlocks, I noticed, with this one. Could be a sign that Douglas isn't moving as quickly as he used to. Or maybe it was just they wanted something completely and utterly different for a TNA show. It just shows that the guys in TNA aren't just bouncing around all the time. They can actually bloody wrestle. Douglas, later in the match, used some real good heel psychology. Never ever done these days in wrestling. He attacked Daniel's arm, isolating an... Will, you just really screwed me over. Yeah, Will knocked me off with that comment that he's just made in the chat room saying that I'm Aussie all the time. Well, no shit, Sherlock. back on track, Douglas working a body part, something that's not done. Why he was working the arm, probably trying to delay the angel swings, who knows. I can't actually remember the finish on this one. Nick, were you able to pick anything up in your research about the finish on this match? Because
yes,
for some reason I blanked out about it.
The heel tripped up and he got Daniels tripped out the heel of Douglas. After Douglas went for the belly for Billy's suplex and ended with the best moonsault ever and the 1-2-3. Now, the reason I actually say that it was very, very smart how they did the match is because you've got to remember, Shane Douglas, it was going to always be a short run in TNA because he also now has a full-time job as a teacher. But he doesn't want to end his career in the wrestling industry. So, by him being such an old school presence in the wrestling ring, I'd say it gives him more credit, especially being in the limelight of TNA. It gives him a better opportunity in the indie scene.
Yeah, true.
I think that great match, when the two opponents come out better for it, it increases both their stock. And I think this is one of those times it has increased both their stock. Well, not so much Shane Douglas, but it's brought him back into the limelight.
Very much so. I was more impressed by the fact that they were working a very grounded style as opposed to the usual, I'll bounce around the ring all the time, you just stand there and take the bumps when I need you to, style that TNA is more known for. yeah, as you said, it sort of increased both guys' stocks. It's just a shame that, according to the rules of the match, we're not going to be able to see Douglas again. But then again, who knows? He might actually pop up a bit later in the show. Moving straight along, we'll go straight into Jeremy Borash, not Gemini. Jeremy Borash interviewing Mick Foley. Some bullshit here about percentage numbers and what that means for Foley and Foley playing it off. A very goofy segment after such a great match, I think, sort of killed my interest for a little bit, actually.
Oh, did you catch this week's Impact with the Twitters and the tweets?
The tweet and the tweak connection. Yes, I have, and I actually have Jeremy Borash on my Twitter as well. So I did sort of see this thing coming up, as he likes to preview a lot of the stuff before a show happens or as a show happens. I will give Foley this. I did actually get a slight chuckle out of the parody of Holds the Whole World in His Hands. Foley singing it that he's got the world title in his hands, forcing Borash to sing the last little bit of it. Probably goes bang. Speaking of Jeremy Borash and his little Twitter tweet and tweak connection, you can follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/wildtalkradio. I'd give you mine, but nah, you don't want it. Anything you want to say about the little segment there, Nikki?
I'm only a person who just logged onto Twitter and went, nah.
You're a non-Twitter twit?
Let me put you this way. I'm on Facebook, I'm on MSN, I got about 3 email accounts, I've got Skype, I've got a mobile phone. How many fucking ways do you want to contact me? Do you really need to know when I'm in the fucking can?
Homing pigeons. I want homing pigeons.
From now on, you want to contact me? New rule. See, I want everybody to scroll to the top of the page. There is a link called the forums. I check it at least once a day. That is the best way to contact me. And if you haven't signed up for our forums, sign up. It's a great way. I'm in there a lot. Maverick's in there a lot. Mace is in there a lot. Comment if you've got something to say. That is the place. I do
like
not need to...
Hate us, whatever. Just comment. moving right along, we'll get to the Hubba Hubba part of the evening, as I like to call it, otherwise known as the TNA Knockouts Championship match, with the champion Angelina Love retaining her title over Tara, Victoria, whatever you want to call it, don't really care. I like, to be honest, I get very distracted. Very, very distracted just by the beautiful people's entrance. Nom, nom, nom. And that's all I'm going to say about the entrance. Tara playing...
Things to say.
All right.
Lick it before you stick it and leave them before they're done screaming.
Very good. Now, come back and talk to
me
when
you've
actually had
some,
Nick. Nick, shush. Shush. Recapture. Shush. Tara started out the match really, really well with manhandling of Angelina Love. Angelina had to use a lot of her quickness, which I thought was quite surprising, to get a whole heap of quick two-count covers trying to get a very, very, very quick win over Tara, obviously showing that Tara does have the merits to beat the living shit. But at the same time, once the beautiful people did come into play for the match, I sort of felt that Tara was starting to look a bit weak after all the build-up that they've given her. But then again, 3-on-1, who the hell ever looks good on the tail end of that one? The match sort of ended in a very, very typical fashion, sort of the same way they used to defeat Awesome Kong at some point, I believe. Hairspray to the eyes, and Angelina Love uses what whatever the hell that move is. Hopefully somebody knows what the hell her finisher is. I can't fucking peg it for the life of me.
It's a Botox injection.
Botox injection, or the lights out, as Rock's saying, to get the win and retain over... I'll retain the title. And I think we might leave it there for the moment. We might just go to a very quick break. So if Senor Rocco can come up,
say.
Yep, quickly.
I thought the Beautiful People would have made some great 3-on-1 tapes, in my opinion.
Oh my god, that's really bad. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break here on Wrestle Talk Radio. This is Mace, and Nick, I'm going to go beat the crap out of. Please stick around, we do have the contest later tonight, and if you feel free to call into the show and discuss things with us. So hopefully you'll be with us when we come back from the break. This has been Wild Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Bug Guy from WrestleTalk Radio and WildTalkRadio.com. Chosen to take this time to not necessarily apologize for things I've done, but more or less explain myself. I essentially called out an individual for actions I thought were cowardly, and dickish. For lack of a better term. I've known this individual for a long time through an internet friendship, and it kind of dissolved a few years ago when he thought I was copying off of him and decided to make a big hubbaloo about it. Things that he had said a couple of weeks ago I didn't necessarily agree with and thought they were rather cheap on his part. Now, you all know me, I'm not one to pull punches, nor am I one to be apologetic for things. But I have raised the ire of a few individuals in the past week for perceived slights against this gentleman's wife. I can assure you that my intent was never there to insult this woman or call her out on anything. I do believe I stated many, many, many times that she was not the target. So if you were all mistaken for that, I apologize. I apologized to her on the air last week for that. Listen to the archive. It's there. Two other individuals, mainly Trey and Adam of WNL. Never had a problem with you guys. Love you guys. God rest JSK. I spent years listening to your show, years calling in and having somewhat of an acquaintanceship, friendship with you guys. And I wish you nothing but the best. I know that there were some hard feelings or hurt feelings about implications of things that I have said that might have been taken the wrong way. Let me clear that up right now. Trey, nothing against you, buddy. Love you to death. When I said, fuck Trey, it wasn't as in a I hate you way. It was a, really, he has nothing to do with this kind of way. So why is he even involved? So for that, I apologize. To Adam, for taking the high road. Good on you, sir. To Andy Knowles. Keep your nose out of something it doesn't belong in the first place. That's the end of that. To the rest of the people at WTR, thank you for putting up with my bullshit, and I apologize for dragging you guys into the middle of this. But, with that being said, I will see you guys next week, after my suspension, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Have a good night.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Attention ATS soldiers, I want to remind you to check out across the field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spunk...
What's your name, scumbag?
...and DL...
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
...go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
At ease.
This is Cigarette Buzz and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me...
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer. Shut up. For the Trump rap parts.
Why does he do it? We waited forever to Rob, for Rob to come back, and now you're not even gonna let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big... Well...
Oh, no.
I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Rob Hunt, your godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio. I am Mace, again with Nick tonight. We are covering the TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view. That's right, it's a friggin' Slammiversary pay-per-view. Gonna get straight back into it. We had straight into an interview with Dr. Stevie, who is trying to psychoanalyze Lauren, talks about putting Christopher Parks, otherwise known as Abyss, back together, but frankly, he seems to not be giving a shit anymore. He does apologize for Taylor being dragged into this whole mess. Well, frankly, you know, friends of friends, blah, blah, blah. They get dragged into shit. Raven, in what I would say definitely is a promo of a lifetime. He starts out by hitting on Lauren. Oh, she's got this great big facade of all these positives and everything, and how she's really crying inside and really hurtful and in pain, and he loves pain, so that turns him on. Very, very creepy, very, very friggin' awesome.
Raven has an awesome character.
Oh yeah, he's a very, very, very smart cookie and one hell of a character. No matter how long he goes with the character, it just seems to get better and better no matter where he is. That, of course, leads us into the Monsters Ball match, which is a Falls Count Anywhere hardcore match between Abyss and Taylor Wilde against Raven and, my god, Daphne. I'm definitely a Daphne and Corsets fan. The basic premise of the match, not really much to be known here. Beat shit out of each other with anything and everything you can get your hands on. At one point, Abyss using Taylor Wilde herself as a lawn dart to take out the heels. anything you really want to... shut up, Rock. Sorry about that, guys. Rock's sending me messages. I just want to slap him through the computer screen. One thing I did notice that I haven't seen in quite a while, and probably the only time you'll ever see it is during a Monsters Ball match, is the outside brawling. You know, with the state of the world as it is, everybody overly secure about what happens at a show. Not very many promoters will allow their wrestlers to wrestle outside of the ring. Abyss and Raven going outside, beating the living crap out of each other. And under the false count anywhere rules, they can pin anywhere in the building, which at that point in time did actually make me wonder, when was the time we had seen a match finish in a false count anywhere contest where the pinfall actually happened out in the crowd? Could that be a little hint for the trivia contest tonight? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but we're definitely getting there. Taylor and Daphne also made their way onto the outside, setting up a very, well, it would have been a really, really good table spot between the two, except for the fact that Taylor Wilde took forever and a friggin' day to climb up on top of a speaker stack and dive off. She posed at least four times during that, and it did not sort of click for me. I will say again, as I said during the break in our chat room, if you wish to call in tonight, the number is 267-297-1397 or Skype ID Rockin, that's SIRROCKIN, there is no G on that one. A lot of very classic spots during this match. Raven doing his classic drop toe hold onto a chair and beating the crap out of Abyss with a kendo stick until it shatters. As we headed near the end of the match, we sort of saw Stevie, or Dr. Stevie as he's calling himself these days, coming into play quite often, distracting the referee, grabbing the referee, pulling the referee out of the ring, which gives the team of Daphne and Raven a lot more time to beat the living crap out of their opponents using whatever they can get their hands on. Eventually, Abyss does get his comeback, and he goes for his favorite weapon of all time, the thumbtacks. At this point, everybody's sitting there basically waiting for a fact that once Abyss gets the tacks out, he would be the guy who takes the bump into the tacks. But tonight, TNA decides to start their "we're going to screw with your head" segments with Daphne, of all people, taking a sort of a press slam from Taylor Wilde into the thumbtacks. Very big props for that. Not often you'll see women who are willing to take those type of bumps. Yes, Nick, what do you want to say?
Just the thought. When would be the last, when, apart from Roxy, is there anybody else in the women's division who'd be willing to do that? I know Roxy is not in TNA, but I'd say that's a shot in the arm for the women's division. That's really her being almost the China, a new China for the women's division in that segment there.
Oh, dude. I'm not lumbering with that crew. I'd say, yes, it would be a very big shot in the arm for the TNA knockout division, showing that they're willing to do more than the WWE Divas. But, again, don't want to get into TNA versus WWE debates. The match ends with a black hole slam from Abyss using Raven as a pin cushion to get the three count, and then picking it up, Taylor Wilde as sort of a ring exit, with Abyss having Taylor Wilde over his shoulder, giving us quite a few lovely, lovely little shots there that I hope I can get some screenshots of later, definitely. Moving right along from, and wiping the drool from my mouth at the moment, we go straight into a nice little segment of Jeremy Borash interviewing the King of the Mountain, Jarrett. Points covered in that one was that Jeff has never lost a King of the Mountain match that he has been in so far, and that Jeff has no desire whatsoever to get the belt back. Jeff says that he wants to take his company back off Foley, and if that means getting the title, then he'll do it. Again, Jeff thinking that Foley's lack of mental state has him walking around as a walking, talking time bomb. Interesting little sidebar there with Foley earlier in the night saying that he wants to help Foley wants Jeff to help him retain the title. After all that's happened in the past few weeks, why would the TNA founder want to even help Foley? I agree with Jeff Jarrett wanting to put his fist through Mick Foley's skull. Jeff ends the... Yes, he will take the title if that's what it means, get his company back, and then he'll decide what to do with it. Nick, any thoughts on this so far?
I really think that they're setting up Foley to leave the company, because I want to just take you back previously this week on Impact. You'll notice Jeff Jarrett said, the only reason I haven't removed Mick from his position is because I feel sorry for him. If he could remove him from the position, then it's just a matter of time before Mick pisses him off and says, you're out. I know he's a half owner of the company. Rock says Foley isn't going anywhere, but I think it's either going to have a change where he becomes a wrestler. I don't know. I just don't think it's... I don't think it's working.
Not so much there, Nick. You got to realize that 2 weeks ago, Foley had suspended Jeff Jarrett from the Impact Zone, which sort of calls into question how much power does the founder have against the executive shareholder. I thought that sort of went, you know, the TNA founder can do, well, can kick Foley in the head if he likes and say, you know, I don't like what you're doing, change it or you're fired. But it seems to be the other way around now, where it's Foley going, you know, hey, Jeff, I don't like what you're doing. You assaulted Earl Hebner. Take a walk, butter.
Well, if you go back to the initial story when Mick Foley arrived, which is where how I'm trying to develop my theories, because my zany theories don't write themselves, unfortunately. But Mick arrived being a shareholder who has 50% of the company. So I just don't know where this is going, because some weeks you're right, Mace. You're seeing Mick in charge. Some weeks you're seeing Jeff in charge. It's bizarre. It's a very inconsistent in the storyline. Either they've got a grand plan for this, or it's just a botch fest. I'm hoping they have a grand plan.
Well, I hope so too. I wouldn't mind hearing from some of the people in our chat room or other people who are listening live tonight. Feel free to give us a call, 267-297-1397, or Skype ID Sir Rockin, and we'll gladly put you on the air and have a chat about the mental state of Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley. But while we're doing that, well, should that happen, we'll do it. But for the moment, we'll go back on to another match from the TNA pay-per-view tonight. Matt Morgan versus Sting. If Matt wins the match, he will join the main event Mafia. This seemed like a very, very last-minute addition, as it was actually announced on the very last Impact before the pay-per-view. Probably trying to put a capper on the whole Matt Morgan wants to join the main event Mafia storyline that's been played out over the last few weeks.
Hold on. Yep. I've got to actually correct you on something. It wasn't a position in the main event Mafia. It was Sting's position in the main event Mafia. The exact words, you could have my spot. So if Matt Morgan had won it, then technically Matt Morgan would have become the godfather of the main event Mafia, which...
Yeah.
Honest, if it had happened, would have been great in my opinion, because the main event Mafia would just disband at next Impact.
Very, well, quite possibly. But again, it comes down to the way TNA advertises what the matches are going to be. We're even saying it during the match, and even during the pre-show, that they made it sound like if Morgan won it, he was going to only get a spot in the main event Mafia rather than the Godfather spot that was originally offered to him by Sting. Bit of confusion. It's TNA. We get used to it. The match itself was pretty stock standard. Morgan playing the big man of the two. Sting always trying to take him off his feet, but not quite succeeding. Morgan doing his usual bits and bobs, you know, a lot of clotheslines, body slams, smashes into the corner. Sting having to go all the way to the top rope and hit a drop kick before he actually got Morgan off his feet. And then Sting got the Stinger splash in the corner. Seems to be a very, very staple move off Sting's. One thing I did notice near the end of the match was Morgan picking him up for his little suplex slam thingamabob that he does. Sting trying to reverse it into the Scorpion Death Drop and botching it quite royally. I don't know whether you picked this up yourself, Nick.
You're talking about when Morgan went for the elevator?
Yes.
Sting sliding out of it. Look, you've got, I don't mean to play spoiler, but I'm hearing that Sting's discussing for his new contract and saying his body is giving out on him.
His body's been giving out on him for years, so that shouldn't really be a
factor.
Yeah,
but he's now crossed the 50 mark.
This is more of a just a straight-up botch, you know. It had nothing to do with his knees or anything else. It was just straight-up Sting or Morgan didn't have a hold of the other person properly. He just dropped straight onto his feet. From there, Sting going in for the Scorpion. How he'd be able to get it on somebody like that, who knows? Morgan getting out of the Scorpion Death Drop. Not the Scorpion Death Drop, the Scorpion Leg Lock. That's the one. He's got too many Scorpion moves. He needs the harpoon throw and the teleport behind. No, wait, that's Mortal Kombat. Anyway, Morgan missing the footprint and into the corner trying to take Sting's head and punt it into the sixth row. From there, Sting has been able to get around behind Morgan, climbs up onto the second rope and falls into the Scorpion Death Drop to get the pinfall on that one. Any thoughts there, Nick?
Look, I think it was a rushed match. I think it was a rushed setup. It was a rushed match. It was pretty poorly planned. I mean, if you think about it, they only decided to officially do it this week. I think they were planning a Matt Morgan versus somebody in the main event Mafia for a long time, but the fact it was going to be Sting, I think it put, this could be an example of me saying TNA doesn't have enough airtime. Even with 2 hours a week, it might not be enough.
Not so much that it's not enough. It's probably too many things going on at once. They might need to try cutting back on one or two storylines to give others more focus and more explanation. That's certainly my personal thought on it, because I don't think more air TNA's problem. I think it's they can't really utilize the airtime they have properly at this stage.
Okay, why do you say they're not utilizing it properly? Do you think that they're using too much filler in the form of the webisodes previously on Impact? Or do you think that the storylines are too congested, if you will?
I'd probably say more the storylines are congested more than anything else. I'm finding that when I watch Impact, I'm sort of jumping from one storyline to another, to another, to another, back and forth, back and forth. Even on the pay-per-view, it sort of felt like that they were jumping around very, very randomly. I think that if you probably drop things that aren't needed, like Matt Morgan trying to get into the Mafia, the focus on Cody Deaner being traded by ODB, just little things like that that are not needed at this point in time, putting those off to the wayside, using that to explain what's going on with Samoa Joe, or, you know, push Kurt Angle. Or
but the problem is,
something like that, yeah.
You've got to remember, all these guys have this airtime in their contract. And what do you do with these characters if you're not doing it? I mean, I honestly think that we're in a position where TNA is big enough to have a second show. And I think if they had a second show, it'd give them a much better leeway to set up for the pay-per-view. But let's get back to the matches.
Yep. We'll go into the tag team. Well, actually, I might actually get you to do something for me here, Nick. Did you happen to see the interview with Joe and AJ that came up after the Sting Morgan match?
No, I just came in the tag team 3D beer money match.
Bugger, because I actually missed the that little interview segment, because people know, or should know by now, we are Australian. The pay-per-views take a time frame of 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Our time, so that means while it's going on and I'm recapping the show, I have to pretty much forego my lunch, and eventually my stomach said, no, you need food, so I decided to skip out on the interview and get what was needed for my body to keep going. Anyway,
unlike
you don't
me, who's on 100% caffeine at this point, because he came home from work and went, oh crap, I have to watch something of this pay-per-view to comment on it.
I have
a couple of cases of Dick and Cider next to my bed. That is my lunch and breakfast.
Well, speaking about things you'll drink for lunch and breakfast, that brings us to the Beer Money Team 3D Tag Team match. See how I did the segue there? Very fucking nice.
I like it.
The
props.
Match. One thing I'll get before I actually get into the match proper. From the outset, the crowd was calling for tables. Straight away. Before the match had even begun. Team 3D and Beer Money standing in the ring, the crowd going, tables, tables, tables. Is there like some sort of button that TNA presses to make their crowd so stupid and robotic? Seriously.
It is what the Dudleys are known for.
True, but do they really need to center it around that?
I want you to... Have you ever caught any of the independent tapes from Detroit?
No.
I think I caught a couple of... DSW did a tour in Detroit, and I think OVW. I've seen a few of them, and it is a pretty hardcore crowd. They like to see a bit of blood going. And I've tend to notice that if you look at the Dudleys, Devon, get the tables. And Beer Money, they started out with the beer bottle being smashed against the head. It had to go in that direction. It really did. And with the use of tables, I actually thought that if they should have either made this a tables match or lost the tables completely, because it really seemed like it was just a bad throw-in segment with British Invasion, one of the members of British Invasion being thrown into the table later on in the match.
Yeah, well, actually, now we've got a little bit of a segue there for the match. Team 3D doing their very standard brawling offense throughout the night. And Beer Money using a lot of their flash and panaz in the way of their tag team maneuvers to separate the Dudleys, more specifically keeping Brother Ray out of the ring for most of the match. Bubba getting a hot tag, trying for the 3D. It gets cut off by Storm with an amazing enziguri to the back of the head, but leaving Robert Roode open to get the what's up. God, they could have left that in the WWE for sure. British Invasion decided to make their presence felt, probably setting up the next set of feuds. Who knows? They come down and take a seat at the commentary position, the main tag team portion of British Invasion mainly. The other guys going in to distract the referee, leading to a nice little high spot of Beer Money getting out of the Dudley Death Drop, Storm hitting a Hurricanrana, Rude with a splash with a quick two count, again leading into another 3D attempt. The big guy in British Invasion, I keep forgetting. Nick, you're the guy who knows the name.
Me?
Yeah, you. What's the big guy's name?
Fuck if I know.
Good on ya. You're meant to be the information guy, jackass. We end this with Beer Money doing their little rollover into a powerbomb for the three count, and Beer Money are your new TNA Tag Team Champions. Your thoughts, Nick?
I don't... Okay, I'm going to take a step back. First of all, where the hell did this alliance with the British Invasion come from? It makes no fucking sense. There was never a setup for this. Although,
who's
I'll start
with
off...
the British Invasion?
They didn't start that until tonight. Previously on Impact, they were been feuding.
Yeah, but yes, there's no alliance going on there, dude. They came in to distract both teams. They didn't give a shit.
I just didn't feel the right place. But I liked if they were going to put the titles on Beer Money, that it wasn't a clean finish. That's pretty much all I've got to say. You did a pretty good job of covering it.
Pretty awesome. What we are going to do now is take our second break of the evening, during this time, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to hear from you. We would like you to call into the show as we are going to go into our contest for this evening for the WrestleManiac DVD. So, just as we come back from break, we will take the first two callers for the call in. We'll give you 10 questions to answer. You get them better than the other bloke, you win the DVD. So come on back to listen to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wild Talkers, Tim Stein here to tell you about our current contest. We call it Show Us Your WTR. If you do, you can win.
Kick ass, dude!
All you have to do is take a photo of yourself, family, or friends holding a Wild Talk Radio sign.
Alrighty then.
Then send it in to us.
You've got mail.
You bastard!
Once we receive your photo, you are automatically entered to win a DVD of your choice.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
All entries will be eligible for our grand prize drawing at the end of the contest period. Grand prize to be announced at a later date. Great weekly programming here on Wild Talk Radio, totally free for the listeners. Plus now, we are paying you for being loyal fans.
Holy crap, dude!
Be as creative as you want with your pictures. Just make sure you send them to admin@wildtalkradio.com as soon as possible.
No!
And ladies, if you want to write Wild Talk Radio across your chest and snap a pic, you win automatically.
Swing!
We're just nice people that way. Just make sure you are at least the age of majority so nobody gets in trouble. Just dirty looks.
Yeah.
If you ladies do choose this option, include your DVD choice when you send the photo. And you don't have to show your face if you feel brave enough to send this picture.
Does this seem weird?
Hey, it pays to listen to Wild Talk Radio.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Mondays, 30 minutes after Raw goes off the air, join me, Maverick, on Running the Ropes. I give you wrestling talk as realistic as my imagination allows. I also give you wrestling news and opinions from all over the spectrum, including WWE, TNA, and the local NorCal indie scene. All this and much more on the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area. Running the Ropes, bust out of the college level and into your home through the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. The evolution of online entertainment.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Bischoff,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Janice Rousseau.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And some more.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is former ECW WWE superstar Kevin Thorne, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
To Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You're listening to the two Aussies of the group, myself, Mace, and my co-host, Nick, who likes to do bad jokes. What we are going to do now, ladies and gentlemen, is we are going to plug, once again, our trivia contest for this evening. Tonight's prize is a copy of WrestleMania on DVD, and what we would like you to do, live listeners, is to call 267-297-1397 or Skype Sir Rockin, and he'll put you through to us, and we will be able to get a contest rolling. According to Sir Rockin, we do have one contest person on the line. We are just waiting for a second, so line is open.
Already, if I will. From Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Will, are you there?
I am here.
Well, I was going to wait until we had two guys, but hey.
How you been, Will? You were MIA last night.
Spug piped up on me.
That's an interesting twist of events. Wait, you're going to pipe Spug?
Well, that just sounds nasty, Will.
That's why he wasn't on OTL, because I pipe bombed him. He decided to pipe bomb me back.
I think the Australian definition of pipe bombing, I do remember that. And the American definition of pipe bombing somebody are very different.
Yeah, probably. Y'all's language is backwards. No, I sent a small explosive device to his house and he sent one back.
Oh no, the pipe bombs in Australia are pretty dangerous stuff.
Oh, I'm going to keep out of that
it
one.
It blows somebody apart quite easily.
Very, very true. We're still waiting on a second caller for the contest tonight. The number again is 267-297-1397 or Skype ID Sir Rockin, and you get to take on Will in a trivia contest for a copy of WrestleManiac the movie. While we could sit here and chat for a little bit, what I would like to do for the moment while we are waiting on that second competition person to come along is recap the Mountain World Heavyweight Championship match. You don't mind if we do this, Will?
Go ahead.
Easy enough done, brother.
Oh, we have a second caller. Let's hold off on our main event. Who are we joined by?
Josh.
Josh, do you have a last name, Josh?
Yeah, I'm doing Stockett.
He's in the chat room, dude. There's only one Josh. Welcome, Josh. How you been, bud?
Tired and sore.
Oh, you been hanging out with Lita?
No. Sunburned like healthy ass.
I should leave the Lita jokes to Omega. It's his thing.
Definitely. Alright, well, seeing as we got two people on the line right now, let's dive into this trivia contest. Since I'm going to do this by random drawing tonight, I believe we shall start with Will. First question goes to you, mate. Hope hopefully so Rockin', our little producer monkey there, will be willing to keep tabs on the score as we go along. So, Will, the first question to you. Who are the two men to officially hold the FTW Championship in ECW?
Taz and Sabu.
That is correct, sir. Second question. What was the name of Eric Bischoff's autobiography?
Is this to me or Josh?
This is to you, Will. We'll get your 10 out of the way, and then we'll finish up with Josh.
All right. Controversy creates cash.
That is correct. Who did the British Bulldog defeat to win the WWF European Championship?
No. This isn't right, but I want to say Owen Hart. No, I'm not using Wikipedia. I want to say Owen Hart. That's probably wrong.
No, you are correct, sir.
Oh, that was a lucky guess. No, I'm not on Wikipedia. That would be cheating.
That would be cheating, definitely.
No, give me like 10 seconds. If it takes any longer than that, I'm using Wikipedia.
All right, we are up to question four, sorry. This is why I'm hoping Sir Rockin' is taking notes on this one. Who laid down for Hulk Hogan so he could win the WCW title in 2000?
2000?
2000.
Ooh, almost got me there. Jeff Jarrett.
That is correct. All right, let's see if we can find something a little bit harder. Who shaved Raven's head in TNA?
James Mitchell.
That is correct. So that gives you 5 or 6 correct?
That's five? No. Five? It is five, right?
I hope Rocco, point tally. You lazy bastard, he's probably gone to sleep. Dance, monkey, dance, come on.
Hold on, you're calling Rock lazy?
I think that's what he did. He called Rock lazy.
How'd you get booted off the air? Insult the producer.
Alright, that's 5 out of 5 so far for Will. This is going to be a real hard one for Josh to catch up on. Who was the first WWF superstar to be drafted? You got 10 seconds, Will.
Oh, this is still me? Oh, I'm going to say The Rock.
That is correct. That makes you 6 out of 6. Who were members of Men on a Mission?
Oh, God. Do I have to get their names or their character
their names
at the
please.
Time right?
Yes, please.
Ooh. I don't know.
That would
I know
be
one
Mo
of
and
probably,
Mabel.
Yeah. Didn't know.
Bit of a tricky one there. So you're sitting 6 out of 7. When WCW and ECW merged in 2001, what was the name of the group they created?
The Alliance.
Very good. So that makes you 7 out of 8. Ada was suspended in 1996 after attacking what WWF official?
Who was suspended?
Vader.
Can I say Earl Hebner? No,
Earl
it was a
soon.
Higher official. Right, yep.
You're not doing
wrong
too bad.
Official.
You're doing 7 out of 9 so far. And the final question for you is, what adult film star was known as Lady Dudley?
Jenna Jameson?
That is correct. Giving you a score of 8 out of 10.
Only that was Stacy Cooper.
Nick, you are wrong. You are fired.
I said if only. If only. Come on, you can't tell me that you wouldn't want to see Stacy Keibler.
I would like to see Stacy Keibler. Where, I will not say on the air. Okay, we'll leave it at that. You still with us, Josh?
I'm here, and I can guarantee you, world wonder.
Well, you got a hell of a score to beat, mate. You got to beat 8 out of 10.
Probably not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen. All right, we'll start you at the easy end, and we'll work our way up. All right, you ready for your first question there, Josh?
Sure, why not?
What was Steve Austin's first gimmick in the WWF?
Was it Stunning Steve Austin?
That is incorrect. It was the Ringmaster. Stunning Steve Austin was WCW. What was the name?
What was what name?
Did he drop Hello? Off?
Damn, Telstra! Sorry, I'm going to take this opportunity to rant on Telstra. In Australia, we have one major internet service provider. And it's just terrible. It is absolutely terrible.
Anyway. So he ended up getting booted.
Damn. So now we wait.
Yeah. So while we're waiting, you want to fill me in on who's still heel and who's still face in TNA?
What do you mean by who? Can you just repeat that?
Who's still heel and who's still face in TNA?
I
heard Eric Young went face and I was like, or heel, and I was like, what?
Yeah, he's gone face, he turned face against Jarrett. I actually like the move, because if you think about it, EY has been babyface for too long. I think you need to mix it up unless you're a truly established character.
You know, even Hulk Hogan, the guy was face for so long and he went heel.
Oh, and what a tremendous pop that got.
Yeah, it revitalized his career.
Sorry about that, guys. Had a bit of a technical glitch on my end. Just quick, bring me back up to speed. Nick, did you ask any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Well,
he ran it on Telstra.
I could ask questions.
No, you can't. Shut up. Alright, back on the question two. What is the name of the arena where DX launched war on WCW?
Ah, shit. I should know that one. I watched that one enough. Fuck it, I forget.
It was the Norfolk Scope Arena. So that's two incorrect. One more, and that's pretty much we hand the title over to Will.
Yep.
So I'll give you a nice, easy one, just so we can keep this a little bit more interesting. What country did Jeff Jarrett fly to when he attacked Hulk Hogan with a guitar?
Oh, I didn't watch much WCW.
That's not a WCW question, actually. It's a TNA question.
Yeah, it's really fuck if I know.
That was Japan.
Yeah, I don't watch TNA. That's why I was worried about the whole Rock asked me to play. I'm like, oh, well, shit. I don't watch TNA.
Actually, it happens to WCW.
Huh?
Jeff Jarrett hit Hulk Hogan with a guitar in Brisbane, the house show in WCW. So you could have gotten Australia or Japan.
Yeah, but nobody knows about the friggin' house shows, Nick. The footage is the famous clip of Jeff Jarrett coming in to Hulk Hogan's press conference and smashing him in the head with a guitar. The same footage that has been shown on TNA for many, many years.
Yeah, I've seen that footage just on like YouTube and that shit, but I didn't know what the hell was that.
It just didn't click, huh?
I knew what footage you were talking about, just didn't know what country, I didn't know it in Japan.
Sorry to say, Josh. But it looks like Will is our winner. Congratulations, Will.
Ah, damn.
Yeah.
What the hell am I going to get my Stampede Wrestling DVD for sending in a picture of me holding a WTR sign?
That's going to be after lift with Tim, and knowing his posting schedule, you'll probably get in about 18 months' time. if the currency stays at a good price.
And it isn't everybody who sent in a picture will receive one.
No. If you are female and you decide to show your chest, then you win one automatically. Guys have to fight it out.
Or
don't ask
if
me.
You
I didn't make
one of
the rules.
First, or if you want one of the first three, I believe, to send it in.
I know myself
personally and one other girl, we will be the first two people to send it in photos.
I thought hosts couldn't send in photos.
Okay, let me put you this way. I paid to have a very special photo made of a wrestler holding a WTR sign.
Cheating.
Cheating.
So technically the DVD should be sent to Al Snow, but hey, I'm claiming it. I paid.
Anyway, guys, it was nice to have you on for the contest. Will,
no
congratulations
problem.
Again. If you'd like to leave your details with Sir Rocco at the front desk, we will get that out to you as soon as possible.
If there's
anything you guys wish to plug on the way out?
No, I'm not sure.
Do I really need...
Yes, Will, plug away.
Do I really need to?
Yes,
cigarettes
yes, you
and bandanas
do I...
on the Wild Talk
do
Radio
I really
Network
need...
at
yeah.
what time?
Midnight-ish.
Very ish. Very heavy.
Very ish. Somewhere in that general vicinity of midnight.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on, guys. We'll take one last break for the evening, and then we will come back with the recap of the TNA Heavyweight title match. Again, you've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays, 30 minutes after Raw goes off the air. Join me, Maverick, on Running the Ropes. I give you wrestling talk as realistic as my imagination allows. I also give you wrestling news and opinions from all over the spectrum, including WWE, TNA, and the local NorCal indie scene. All this and much more on the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area. Running the Ropes, bust out of the college level and into your home through the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com. The evolution of online entertainment.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Are you an avid tabletop gamer who doesn't have the time to sit and customize all the finer details in your miniatures? Then check out Burning River Model Works for everything you need to complete your tabletop miniature sets. Burning River Model Works specializes in custom bases, painting, and also miniature restoration service for all of your tabletop strategy games. Pricing varies depending on difficulty, along with the amount of time spent on the model or base. Shipping, as always, will be insured and sent to you via priority mail. For complete details, contact Drew by email at brmworks@yahoo.com or by telephone at 330-304-2025. Burning River Model Works. Custom miniature work for the avid tabletop strategy player.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is Omega. Are you a geek? Enjoy video games, anime, comic books, or anything else that won't get you laid? Then put away your social life and join us every Tuesday for Otaku Talk Live, 10:30 Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We have been going for 1.5 hours, so you should know my name by now. If you don't know it, it's Mace. The guy in the chair next to me, well, not quite next to me, is Nick. And we have been covering the TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view. Now, we're going to go straight into it with the TNA World Heavyweight Championship King of the Mountain match, the second one for tonight. And, oh boy, it ended up being a doozy, huh? No comment there from Nick. Awesome. The competitors in the match were Mick Foley, who is the champion, Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, Samoa, or Sofa Joe, as he was affectionately called elsewhere. And, of course, Kurt Angle, who was supporting a new look tonight. Nick, are you there with us, brother?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, hello. Wake
can
up, dude.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I had my mic muted during the break. Let's start with the beginning of the match, because I want to
Actually, I've actually got a bit before that I'd like to cover. Kurt Angle's new look.
Yeah, it's the I can't be bothered to shave.
I can't be bothered to shave look was perfected by Edge when he made his return as the hobo man.
Nice.
I was elsewhere tonight when covering the pay-per-view, sitting in on another show, and I actually agree with them with their idea of what Kurt Angle looks like, and that would be Chavo Guerrero. He looks very Chavo Guerrero-ish with the growing of his hair and the amazing bald spot on the front of his head and the beard. I thought it was actually comically amusing. As Sir Rocking says, Chavo Guerrero before the hair transplant. Very, very, very true. One thing before we actually get into the match itself, I have a complaint. Oh my god, somebody has a complaint about TNA! Oh no! The world's gonna end! No, that's pretty much the freaking norm. The introductions. Oh my god, the introductions. Every single competitor tonight got a nice little Goldberg-esque shot where they're walking in the backstage area towards the entrance, followed by, sure, it was a short 35 to 45 second recap about the guy, and then you get their entrance, they come down to the ring, then the next guy gets his go. I swear to God, the friggin' intros for everybody all up would have had to at least taken 20 minutes. I got to the point where I was ready to just say, look, somebody wake me up when the bloody match starts. It was just so long and not needed. Seriously.
They needed filler. Because if you look, it was only a 2 hours 40 minute pay-per-view. And without that, without that filler in there, it could have been a 2:30, 2:25.
That's fine. Other companies have done that before. You know, 2.5 hours is a respectable length for a pay-per-view. But to stretch the entrances out that long, and the fact that they had a recap for every single guy, means that they had this planned out from the beginning. It was just not needed. You know, it's like, okay, let's put it in comparison to Michaels and Taker at WrestleMania. You know, they at least made that look interesting with Michaels coming down from above like he was descending from heaven and The Undertaker rising from hell and all that shit. But this was just the same shit with a different guy continuously going nowhere fast. Ugh.
Did you notice they actually did, after they'd all come to the ring, they did another round of announcements as well on top of that?
Yes, but then again, they do that traditionally for the World Heavyweight title matches, where they do the boxing style introductions for the competitors of the match. So, you know, that would have been fine if they had just come down to the ring, then you have that intro, then you go straight into the match. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But the fact that they do backstage, recap, entrance, backstage, entrance, recap, done. It dragged on. It made me so bored, I did not want to start. It just did not want to start. You know, I was ready to close Notepad, stop taking notes, go into my bed, which is like literally 2 foot from the computer chair, and take a friggin' nap.
Let me put it to you this way. I'm on a laptop, and I'm already on my bed. As a girl once said to me, you do your best work on bed.
I doubt that a lot. Anyway, let's get into the match itself.
Okay,
No, you cannot.
Fuck off.
No. We're going to get into the match now. Lots and lots of brawling. Lots and lots of brawling with the start of the match. Of course, these guys aren't going to be like the X Division wrestlers. They're not going to be able to bounce themselves silly off the ropes. So they resort to a lot of big clotheslines, punches, body slams, throwing each other over the top rope. But in all of that, I actually missed an interesting two little bits, one of which, Nick, I know you want to comment on. Get to that 1 second, brother. Samoa Joe attacking Kurt Angle in the start of the match actually got him put into the penalty box, and Kurt Angle was eligible from the start. Very what the fuck moment. That could have had something to do with the jerseys that they were wearing. And I know, Nick, you wish to speak about the jerseys.
Look, it's the pandering to the crowd that we saw a few weeks ago on the WWE with the whole arena scandal. And to be honest, it's been done before. It's pandering. In fact, we saw it earlier in the night.
Yeah, we did. With Shane Douglas in his references to the hockey match. Nick, anything else
yes?
you want to add about the jersey?
Well, I think it's a self-explanatory point. It's something that's already been done on the show already.
Yeah, but not really to that extent. You know, Douglas turned around and he made reference to it, whereas the guys actually coming out with the representation sort of put it over a lot more with the crowd than Douglas simply saying, you know, hey, I come from a city where we're champs, blah, 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 you know.
But, oh, look.
Again, it might have been something that wasn't really needed, but it got him over. It got exactly what it needed to be done. Yes, it's cheap heat, but, hey, when in a match like that, you would love to go for cheap heat because the crowd can die off in an instant in a match like that. Cheap heat keeps me interested.
Okay, I don't value cheap heat as much as the rest of them. That's me personally.
It comes from, yeah, it's a difference between the two of us. As a wrestler, as somebody who has wrestled, I love cheap heat. I love to be able to get a crowd against me within an instant with a little shot at them. From a crowd's point of view, they hate us using cheap heat, but it works. So why mess with the formula that works?
But eventually it's going to come to a point where it's not going to work. People are going to become sick of it.
Yeah, true. If they went overboard on it, then yes, the crowd would turn against them. Totally agree with that.
I mean, in my opinion, I'm a wrestling fan of approaching 15 years now.
You're still young,
and I've only, okay. My family don't watch sports, so it was a mate who got me into it. But at this point, I'm already sick of seeing that gimmick. But let's move on, because it was only a couple of seconds of gimmick.
Yes,
and it was
exactly.
Actually a very good match. I've got to say, you were right, it was much more of a brawling match. And you need the variety in the show.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I believe that TNA have done really well with their variety tonight, but we'll cover that after this last match. Some highlights of the match, well, for me anyway, or at least highlight noteworthy. Foley pretty much lying down to let Jarrett pin him so he becomes eligible. Weird. Samoa Joe ends up being the first man to grab a ladder, set it up, head up. Foley knocks him off with Joe landing ass first on the ladder itself, which absolutely, completely, and utterly destroyed the damn thing. I thought that was friggin' hilarious. Samoa Joe should not sit on ladders, ever.
I thought props, because that was actually in my notes too, and I thought props for actually going through with that spot, because that would have hurt.
Oh yeah, it would have hurt a lot, and given the amount of how much the ladder was warped after Samoa Joe ended up sitting on the damn thing, you could see that it was not going to be used. Even like Jeff Jarrett put it back up to try and use it, and he ended up throwing it to the outside because it was practically worthless. I reckon if Jeff put one foot on it, the entire thing was going to crumple. Ladder spots in this type of match are always plentiful. Always plentiful. It worked a lot better in the X Division version than I thought in the heavyweight version, because they were actually able to do more than the stock standard ladder match spots. Yeah, it was sort of interesting, the differences between the two groupings, you could say, for the title matches. Jeff Jarrett eventually bringing the El Cabong into play to try and hit Kurt Angle, eventually getting the shot on Kurt Angle. Quite interesting. Well, not really. Let's call it for what it was. Jeff using a guitar is like a wrestler doing a headlock. It's standard.
What did you think of Mick Foley sending himself to the penalty box so many times?
Well, that was
a specific effort.
Interesting.
Involved in the match. Sorry.
I was sort of confused by that. I thought Foley was wanting to win the match and retain his title, yet he ended up in the penalty box so many times. It was a very contradiction of what he was saying throughout this entire process leading to the match.
I actually thought it was kind of a brilliant heel move in the beginning. I think they overused it. I thought him being sent to the penalty box off the bat, I thought he was trying to be a smart heel, like hiding under the ring during a battle royal and then popping up at the last couple of seconds. But it was just very poorly executed.
Yeah. Speaking of Foley, interesting little spot, which ended up being a interesting sort of counterpoint for the finish. Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley climbing up the ladder at the same time, with Jarrett having the belt in his hand and Foley wanting the belt off, and Jarrett just ended up clocking him in the head. Absolute counterpoint to what we saw in the finish. We'll pretty much just go straight to the finish, which was the big, holy shit, what the fuck is that? Grab your grandma's underpants and put them in the dishwasher finish. Something we thought we would never see, with Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle climbing up at the same time, going, hey, we're going to beat the living crap out of each other. All of a sudden, Joe smiling, something we rarely see him do, handing the belt to Kurt Angle, Angle putting the belt up on the hook and winning the match, which, for all guesses that we've got, making Samoa Joe a part of the main event mafia, and quite possibly, well, not quite possibly, hell, it pretty much is. The guy that was advising Samoa Joe this entire time has been Kurt Angle instead of Taz. Seriously, that was like left field ahoy. Nick, anything you want to say about that? What the hell's?
Look, I really liked it because it was something I did not see coming. I've got to say, I went, what the hell? I actually said it. And it's really nice as a wrestling fan to have a moment like that. And I think to have Kurt Angle, because if you now look at it, Kurt Angle has been sabotaging the main event mafia now, really. It was since Sting took over the main event mafia that we've really seen Samoa Joe gunning for the mafia. It's almost like Kurt Angle saying, I created the mafia, now I can destroy it. So he can either go in two directions now, where Kurt Angle will leave the mafia and become an entity with Samoa Joe.
So you're saying sort of like an NWO black and white, NWO Wolfpack style thing where they break off into half.
I would love to see a disintegration of the main event mafia. Because if you think about it, Sting's character really doesn't have. Unless Sting wants to take the direction of respect and Kurt Angle wants to do his own ego thing, which Kurt Angle loves to do.
Yeah.
And then they're not really competing as two NWO brands. Sting is saying the newbies owe me respect. Kurt Angle is saying it's all about me. It's all about Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I can definitely see where you're going with that one, Nick.
I don't think it's going to happen, but that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, well, the only way we're going to be able to see it is to tune in Thursday nights to watch Impact. In the case of Nick and myself, it's Saturday nights, but for the Americans, it's Thursday nights. So that pretty much brings us to a close on the recap of the pay-per-view.
We do have notes here.
Yes. Nick, since I've pretty much monopolized time this week, go for it, read the notes and let us know what you think.
Make the dyslexic do the reading. Shane Douglas has suffered a badly twisted ankle, which is why the match was so ground-based and really didn't get out first. People stop posting when I'm trying to read. Not cool. Which is why it was such a ground-paced man. And Kurt Angle is growing out his hair for a movie role.
And Douglas's twisted ankle happened at the start of the match, which is why they end up keeping it ground-based. Okay, that pretty much destroys what I thought of the match, really. I thought that it was actually planned out to be a very ground-based match, but it seems that they were just covering an injury. But definitely, you know, props to Daniels and Douglas for continuing on with their match, even though Douglas had already fucked himself over.
I think wrestling is one of those industries where, I know this is going to be horrible for me to say, but it's almost impossible to avoid injury.
Oh yeah, I know that firsthand, mate. It's very impossible, no matter how safe you are, no matter how safe the guys are in the ring. There's always some way you can get injured. Always.
I mean, that's one of the
anyway,
things
with that being said, yeah?
One of the things Bret Hart prides himself on is saying whenever he stepped in the ring, he never injured any of his opponents. There were no botches where an opponent got injured.
True, but injuries do come up over time. I think we'll just sort of leave it there. The quick rundown of the results for tonight. In the pre-show, we had Eric Young and Rhino against British Invasion. Eric Young leaving Rhino. British Invasion getting the win after Jesse Neal comes in for no reason whatsoever and end up getting the living shit beaten out of him, to be honest. On the main show, the TNA X Division Championship King of the Mountain match, Suicide versus Jay Lethal versus Consequences Creed versus Alec versus Chris Sabin. Your winner there was Suicide. the second chance match of Daniels versus Douglas. Daniels took the win on that one, which means we will probably not see Douglas again in TNA. Personally, I hope not. Your TNA Knockouts Championship match of Angelina Love versus Tara ended with Angelina Love retaining after using hairspray to the eyes. Monsters Ball saw Abyss and Taylor Wilde going over Raven and Daphne. Daphne, personally, I believe was the highlight of that match after taking a great bump into the thumbtacks that Abyss laid out. The Sting versus Matt Morgan match, with Morgan being given Sting's godfather spot in the Mafia if he won. He wasn't successful there. Sting is your winner on that one. The TNA World Championship match, Beer Money Inc. winning over Team 3D to become your new TNA World Tag Team Champions. And in the main event, the TNA World Heavyweight Championship King of the Mountain match, we had, in surprise of the night, Kurt Angle winning thanks to Samoa Joe going over Mick Foley, Jeff Jarrett, AJ Styles, and Samoa Joe, of course. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to the end of another Wrestle Talk Radio. Tomorrow night after Raw at 11 p.m. Eastern, you have Running the Ropes with Maverick. Followed at, on Tuesday at 11 p.m. with Otaku Talk Radio. So, in the end, for myself and Nick, I'd like to say thank you for listening. This has been Wrestle Talk Radio Goes Down Under, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. With you again soon.
I'll never let up. Ferocious, I'm fed up. Dismissing the competition. You're hopeless, I'll trash their ambition. Listen, you want a class on tradition? I want condition. Forget the best of the century. Talk about the best of all time, you better mention me. Essentially, I'm the best that's ever gonna be. I hold my ground, you never take it from under me. Don't run to me, it's gonna be trouble. I hate you so many times, you see triple or double instead of one of me. I got more heart, more ways to tear you apart. I lay you down early on, or maybe in the later round. It's no different to me. If you tap out, cash out, or simply pass out for three. Cause you face down.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.